This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in and that you're in our audience, and we trust that we can be a blessing to you. Now, at the close of the program, I'll give you my mailing address and website address, and so you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper so you can write them down. My website contains this program, and the program can be re-listened to there, and it has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful as well. Now, we are studying the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and the miracles really are described as things that show the Lord's power. The word we get dynamite from, mighty deeds are often associated with his miracles, but signs are a word that is often associated with his miracles, and that word is primarily used to refer to the need of a Jew to see a sign before they will believe that something is of God. And then, of course, there's a word that's called, that is often associated with the idea of wonder, and those are things that are extraordinary. And so the Lord's miracles have power, they are signs, and they are extraordinary, and they prove that the Lord is, in fact, who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. So we've looked at the Old Testament prophecies connected with the Lord's first coming, and now we're looking at the miracles that were associated with his coming into this world in order that we might have confidence in the Lord himself and in what he says. We know that Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And we've mentioned over and over on this program that there's a lot of messages out there, and there's a lot of messages that people believe that are false, but this is one that you can believe that's true. And God gives us evidence that the message that we have in our Bible, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that's a message that is true, and you can depend upon it. Again, he says in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." But why should we believe what the Lord has told us? Well, we should believe what the Lord has told us because he fulfilled these Old Testament prophecies with regard to his first coming, and the miracles that he did, no man could do, that they prove that he was the very Son of God. And so today we want to look at a miracle where Jesus heals a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. This miracle is found in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read more than just the section having to do with the miracle, because the issue here is, does the Lord have authority over the Sabbath? And of course, during when the Lord was here, the Jews had developed rules in their religious worship for what could and could not be done on the Sabbath, and many of those rules went way beyond the intent of the Lord in giving the Sabbath to the people. The Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. And so when we look at the Sabbath, we have to ask ourselves, what is the Sabbath and what relationship does it have to us today in the New Testament? Well, the Lord seemed to have two ceremonies that identified the Jewish people in the Old Testament. One was a public ceremony called the Sabbath. One was a private ceremony called circumcision. And even the private ceremony seemed to be well known to the people in the area around them. The Philistines were often called uncircumcised Philistines. And so the Sabbath was a way of recognizing the worship of the true Creator God, and circumcision was a way of identifying with him and showing faith in him. And of course, this was a mark of the cutting off of the flesh, not thinking according to the way men think, but thinking the way God wants us to think. And so those two things were associated with Old Testament Jewish worship. In the New Testament, we have two things that are associated with the church. One is, of course, the Lord's Supper. It does not save, but it shows us and reminds us that the Lord gave himself to save us. And so if we love him, we remember him, we memorialize him, and the bread speaks of his body that was given for us, and the wine that we take, the cup of wine that we take, speaks of the blood that was shed for us. And so that's one of the ceremonies that identify New Testament Christians, and the other, of course, is baptism, and baptism always occurs to show our faith in Christ, and it identifies us as a marked out people who are willing to do something that is ceremonial to, in essence, turn our backs on our old life. And Romans 6 says to be raised again to walk in newness of life. And the idea is to be identified with the resurrected Lord in our lives after we believe. But even though none of these ceremonies that we've talked about, Old or New Testament, saved, they were and are important ceremonies. But the question is, how important it was the Sabbath? And is the Sabbath something that we should keep today? Well, I believe that the Lord tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 what the meaning of the Sabbath really was. I don't have time to read the whole section, but it says, "We who have believed," Hebrews 4 and verse 3, "we who have believed do enter into that rest. He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now the point is that the Sabbath was a day of rest. And because the Jews violated the worship of the Lord and went to idolatry, they couldn't enter into the Lord's rest. And there's a day coming when likely the rest of God will be recognized in the millennial kingdom. That will be again the day that is pictured by the Sabbath. But for those of us in the New Testament age, the church age, we enter into that rest when we trust in Christ. And the reason for that is that we don't work to be saved. We are saved by the work of Christ, and that gives us peace. It gives us rest. After we're saved, there are things that we can do to please the Lord, but they don't save. They only are service to the Lord for saving us. So we who have believed do enter into that rest. But there was controversy in the Lord's day about just exactly what could be done on the Lord's day. So starting in Matthew chapter 12, we read, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" Now, I want to stop here. It wasn't lawful according to the teaching of the Pharisees, but it was perfectly in keeping with the intent of the Sabbath. They weren't harvesting grain. They were picking grain so that they could meet their needs, they could satisfy their hunger, and maintain their strength on that Sabbath day. So Matthew 12 and verse 3 says, "But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in the place there is one greater than the temple," and that's the Lord himself. "For if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So what is the Lord saying? He said the Sabbath was given so that they might have a day of rest. And frankly, we need a day of rest ourselves. But it's interesting that many preachers who preach that you need to keep the Sabbath are themselves working and carrying out the profession on the Sabbath day and are not considered in violation of it. And so we can see there's a real inconsistency here. We know that the Lord's day is Sunday. Sabbath is Saturday. That's never changed. The Lord's day, Sunday, has never been considered the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath that replaces the Old Testament Sabbath. They're two different things. The Lord was raised on the first day of the week. The Lord's Day is Sunday. And yes, we should dedicate Sunday to the Lord. But the rules of the Old Testament Sabbath are not the rules of the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day should be a day totally dedicated to the service of the Lord, and we know that it's not. It's dedicated to ball games, it's dedicated to picnics, it's dedicated to all the entertainment that we can't enjoy during the week, but it's not really dedicated to the Lord. Some people can't even find time to come to a church service on Sunday morning because they are so involved in other things. But the Lord should be always preeminent in our thinking and in our lives, but particularly on the Lord's Day, He should have the preeminent place. But do we use a little common sense? If something happens on the Lord's Day that needs to be taken care of in a humanitarian way, can't we do it? Yes. But I would say that it would be best if we didn't do our harvesting on the Lord's Day. It would be best if we didn't go back to our offices on the Lord's Day. We have businesses that, out of good conscience, close on the Lord's Day. You have to give them credit for that. And so the Lord is really proving in this next miracle that He does that the Jews are using the Sabbath as a club, and He's using the Sabbath to actually show that He is who He claimed to be, and to show that He should be worshipped, and that true rest comes and true blessing comes with looking to Him for your needs. And so when He was done with this issue with regard to plucking the grain, He went into their synagogue, and there was a man there that had a withered hand. And He says to the man, "Stretch forth your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored whole as the other. And so He healed on the Sabbath day. And we have to recognize that the man with the withered hand had come to a place where he should have been able to get spiritual help, and maybe even physical help with regard to his withered hand. And he'd likely heard the Lord was there. So the Lord was there. He was there. He had a need. And in a humanitarian way, the Lord met that need. And the Lord had the right to do that because He was Lord of the Sabbath. But of course, we have that age-old adage that no good deed shall go unpunished. And instead of being happy for this man, the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him. And I just find that very miraculous in a way itself, to think that they should have been rejoicing that the man had had his withered hand restored, and instead they wanted to destroy the one who was teaching something that they themselves did not teach. We find that often true in the religious world. We teach that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we believe that to be true. That's not the truth of many religions, but that's what we teach, that's what we believe, and we hope that no religious person will get distraught and want to destroy us because we teach the truth. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank Thee for Thy love and for Thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. And we do thank you for listening.